Thank you for downloading the Walking on Air podcast. Before I begin, I would like to thank the three fantastic sponsors of this podcast. Where are you going on holiday this year? Will you be exploring the mysterious moorlands of Dartmoor or the lovely lakes of the Lake District? Perhaps you would like an adventure in Andalusia or an autumnal wine walk in Sicily or Spain. Do you want to return to the roots of Nordic walking and have a go at cross-country skiing in Norway? Or are you looking for a challenge walk somewhere further afield in Africa, India or Canada? You can find holidays to all these incredible destinations and many more at walkingwomen.com. Local women guides provide in-depth knowledge of each area and will encourage you to walk a little longer and walk a little higher. Use the discount code WOA23 to get a £50 discount off your next walking holiday. Walking Women take care of the organisation so you can take care of yourself. The next sponsor is the go-to supplier of brilliant Nordic walking poles. NordicWalk.store is the leading independent online retailer of quality Nordic walking poles in the UK. Always warm and friendly, I can vouch for the fact that you will get excellent customer service in their capable hands. NordicWalk.store will deliver Leckie and XL poles the next day anywhere in the UK. And if you need advice about which pole is right for you, then contact Paula, who is always happy to help answer your questions. And finally, have you ever considered turning an activity you love into your actual job? If you enjoy being outdoors, meeting new people and staying fit, why not train to become an instructor yourself? British Nordic Walking offers internationally recognised high-quality instructor courses and provides amazing ongoing support for its instructor network. If this sounds tempting, then you can book an instructor training course with a £25 discount if you visit www.britishnordicwalking.org.uk. Click on the Train With Us tab and book using the discount code WALKING23. I trained with British Nordic Walking back in 2014 and it provided me with all the information I needed to start teaching and gave me the confidence to set up as an instructor on my own. As a British Nordic Walking instructor, you too will benefit from ongoing support from the community and CPD opportunities to enhance your own knowledge. Further details, discount codes and links to the sponsors' websites can be found in the show notes. Hello, I'm Mary Tweed, an instructor with British Nordic Walking, and I'd like to give you a big welcome to Walking on Air, the podcast for the Nordic walking community. Here we talk to experts and learn about the benefits of walking in general and Nordic walking in particular, as well as other great tips for well-being and improved health. Today, I am talking to Elizabeth Cook about lipedema. I first met Liz in 2016 when she attended one of my beginner's workshops in Cambridge. Back then, I knew nothing at all about lipedema. However, having got to know Liz, who herself has this condition, I have come to understand a little more about it. Lipedema is a condition that does not get much publicity, and therefore there is very little awareness about it. Yet estimates put the number of sufferers of lipedema at 1 in 11 women in the UK, so this is a health issue that really does need highlighting. In the first part of my conversation with Liz, she explains what lipedema is and how it affects sufferers and impacts their lives. Later on, we discuss how Nordic walking has helped Liz improve her health and how it could help many more women. I think you will really enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to Walking on Air, Elizabeth Cook. It's lovely to have you here today.
Thank you, Mary. It's lovely to be invited.
I want to start by asking you if you could just share with us your history of exercise.
I was always a fat child, but which was much more unusual in the 80s than it is these days. And I was quite active, So I did dance and swimming and cycling all the time, and just like any other child. And when I got to 13, of course, I hit that stage where I started to drop out of exercise. So I was doing quite well in life up until my mid-30s when I got repetitive strain injury. So I had pain in my hands from computer work. And I tried to deal with it and it came back. And I actually had to close my marketing company and say I need to devote some time to getting myself well. At which point I took up with my personal trainer, who I still work with. He introduced me to resistance training. And then in 2012, I tried, and it was called the Olympic Challenge, Olympic Gold Challenge. And it was, you can raise money for charity, one of your, pick a choice, a charity of your choice. And I chose cancer research because I'd lost my mother from cancer a few years previously. And it said, you can do it by doing one sport. And that was true, but you had to be in a team of five people. And when I read it and I thought, I can't do five sports. And my reaction, I can't do that. I thought, oh, if you think you can't do it so quickly like that, maybe you better actually go and have a look at how you can do it. So I did it. I tried shooting, which I still do. I was introduced to weightlifting, which I still do. I tried tennis, which I wasn't very good at and I don't do anymore. I tried archery, which I was all right at, but it's not as interesting as shooting. I did boxing, which I do when I can, but only if I can work with people who don't want to hit me back. And there are a couple of other things. And that was a real big point. And that opened my eyes to me and that I tried new things. And it's such a joy to be able to try things as an adult, because as a child, when you try things, there's this expectation. Are you good at it? Yes, keep going. Are you no good at it? Don't worry, dear. Go and do something else. And there was less emphasis on enjoying sport. Sport was something you did to be good at it. So it was so refreshing as an adult. I think I was 36 to be able to say, I'm just doing this for the fun of it. I don't have to be good at it. And that was absolutely wonderful. So that's where I started.
Fantastic. But it's so true. I think too many sports, the emphasis is on the competitive side to it.
Yeah. And I think also it's also about intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation, because Some people are competitive. I say that I'm competitive if I've got a sniff of winning. If I'm matched equally with somebody, it's quite fun to go out and beat them. But I have always said I never want to be the person who only says I've had a good day if I got a personal best. So, yes, I try and focus much more on what I get out of the process.
So today's episode, as you know, we are discussing lipedema. And a lot of people don't know what lipedema is. When I first met you, I didn't know what lipedema is, so I'm not judging anybody for not knowing. But I wondered whether you could possibly explain to the audience exactly what lipedema is and what it means.
I will do my best. I think when I first met you, Mary, I didn't know what lipedema was. So that's how short my notice is. Lipedema, it's lipid as in fat. It's oedema as in swelling. It's not lymphedema. So quite often you see people who've got big swollen legs and ankles because their lymphatic system is backing up, basically. Lipedema is different. It's about 11% of women have it, they think. It's been quite exciting research recently. They found biomarkers. They've done some research to show that lipedema cells are actually different from normal fat cells in women. There's a marvellous paper, I forget who by, where they compared fat cells from legs to arms and also as well as to controls. And those, they worked in a 3D environment. But lipedema cells, you get more of them, fat cells, and they're larger. So quite often the first sign you see at a woman might have lipedema is a sort of softness to her. Dr. Karen Herbst is a big leader in the US in this. And she says lipedema is connectivity tissue disease. So it comes in hands with a lot of comorbidities, like hypermobility is a big thing. My hypermobility is moderate. I know a lot of people have actually got Ehlers-Danlos syndrome as well, which is awful. So I'm lucky I don't have that. But basically, you start off being normal and you put on fat very easily. But the problem is that quite often your fat will end up becoming fibrotic. So on my body right now, we've calculated I'm carrying about 50 kilos of fibrotic fat, right, which is quite a lot for anybody to carry around all the time. Lipedema itself, there's a very much a hormonal impact. It's a woman's disease. There are maybe a dozen recorded cases of it in men. There are millions of women who have it. So on the thighs and the bottom is most normally where you get it. It can also affect your lower legs, your middle, and your arms. I have it pretty much from neck to knee, and it comes in stages. So stage one, you'll get that sort of slight loose feeling, the buildup of quite often lumpy fat. And then at stage two, your limbs get a bit bigger. And by stage three, it becomes almost pendulous lobes of fat. And that's where you start reaching the stage where, there is no way back from this. The only way that fat is coming off is surgery.
Is there a known cause to it? You said it was hormonal. Is it triggered by hormonal changes at certain times of a woman's life, or is it a genetic issue?
Well, they haven't proven anything. I had a very interesting consultation with a vascular surgeon. He was saying the trouble is with lipedema, you've got to define something to study it. And one of the things you've got to do is to find out, is it one thing that is lipedema, or is it appearing in several different ways? So, for example, I'm a classic pear shape. I have a very heavy buildup on the front of my thighs, and I have what are called a bum shelf over the back. But some women have legs who are much more like columns. Right now, the only way you can diagnose lipedema is clinically, to look at somebody. I mean, one of the big things is lipedema fat tends to be symmetrical. Okay. On people, whereas lymphedema is quite often on one side. It's quite often called the painful fat disorder. A lot of people can't bear to be touched. I'm very lucky. That's not something that I have. But yeah, the hormonal elements, there is a Jurassic element. I'm sure my mother had it, and which I didn't know before she died. And you can see from childhood photos, we've all got quite stocky legs, and there's this softness about you. And then puberty, stress times, childbirth, menopause, they're all massive triggers.
And what other issues, beside the putting on of the fat, what other issues does that cause?
That's the biggest one, I have to say. And I think women with lipedema, for the whole of us, really, we've got absolutely terrible mental health. But that's because they've spent their whole time putting on fat, not being able to have it controlled, not understanding why. Everybody assumes you're doing this yourself. You're lazy, you're greedy, you're stupid, you're deluding yourself. You're obviously sitting at home and eating all the pie.
And just to be clear for people listening, you can't get rid of that fat by either diet or exercise, can you?
No, I found out I had lipedema because I also have an underactive thyroid. So I got that diagnosed at 25, and that was great because I stopped putting on weight. I was 25 stone, and it's great. I found the answer to all my problems. Then I found calorie counting. So I lost 100 pounds. That was great. And I put most of it back on. But then I met the personal trainer, and I mixed it up, diet and exercise, with that. So I lost 100 pounds. I had a baby. And after my baby, I was like, right, time to lose my baby weight. Not an issue. I'm good at calorie counting. And I got to the bottom. I think I got to about 280 pounds, which was about a stone more than my base weight before I got pregnant. And I couldn't lose any more weight. And I'm exercising and I'm calorie counting. And I was just to a level of hungry you would not believe. I knew there was something wrong. But then a friend sent me a picture and said, is this what you've got? And it was of a lady, and somebody suggested she had lipedema. And I looked it up and I was like, my goodness. So I went to my GP and I wrote to them and I said, I'm coming in and I would like a diagnosis of lipedema. And if you haven't heard of it, this is the continuing professional development module from the Royal College to say what it is. And my GP was pretty good. She was a little bit sniffy because I'd go in about all these different problems and nobody ever put them together. What we do with lipedema is conservative management. There is a theory that the fibrotic nodules are caused by leaky lymphatics. So your lymphatic fluid gets into the fat and that is what causes the fibrosis. So to prevent that, and also more importantly, to prevent your lipedema turning into lipolymphedema, so getting lymphedema, they will give you compression. They will teach you about dry brushing to support your lymphatic system. They will say, take lots of exercise and don't put on weight. And that is literally all they can do. They can also get you access to manual lymphatic pump. I've always been fully compliant with my compression. I'm currently wearing full length compression stockings, or tights rather, and I work out in compression wear. So that's what they do. It's, and I booked private surgery, which because of COVID hasn't happened. But yeah, that's the only way that you can get it off is liposuction. And the only way you're going to get that is if you pay for it yourself.
Gosh, well, that was going to be my next question, was how is it treated? But it sounds as if the only treatment is stabilizing yourself and then going for major surgery. Is that?
It is. I think I missed out the fact that the way I got to this, I dieted down and I had nothing left. It's what they call conservative management. And although the National Institute of Clinical Excellence does acknowledge that liposuction is a treatment for lipedema, because it's not a cure, only it winds it back.
Yeah.
Then they won't fund it, because it's for old fat women. Who cares?
Yeah, that's shocking. Can I ask how the lipedema impacts on your life?
I was very lucky. I had a mother who had been a fat child in the 50s, and she worked with children. She was a health sister and midwife, and she was very good at child psychology and knowing the importance of early years. So she never criticised me for my weight. I didn't realise that's how I was different. That's how secure I was. So for me personally, it's only now in my 40s that it's pretty much affected me. To be active, you need to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And if you can't find compression to wear, compression holds you in. It supports your lymphatic system and stops it scarring up and turning into lymphedema. But it also helps you become more mobile by holding in, because all your wobbly fat, because lipedema fat is very wobbly. So yeah, that's quite an issue. Because we're sort of wider and softer, everything's so much more expensive. So things like shoes, all my gym wear, it's incredibly expensive. And I pay a lot, I think, to enable myself to do things like, for example, food is a big link to health. We eat very well in our house. We eat good quality food. I cook 3 times a day. I don't eat a lot of processed stuff. So it's not limiting like that, but it costs an absolute fortune. The fact that from the point I had to stop work to make myself well, to the fact that you pay out for your kit and your gym membership and the good food. My osteopath, I'm fairly sure I bought him a new car because of the hypermobility. Every time I made progress, I'd have to go back and see the osteopath because, you know, things were off balance. And because of the hypermobility element, I just seemed to suffer more. A big thing about exercise for me is I have to keep my eye on my own game.
Yes.
I can't worry about being like the other people. And I think that's one of the things that is a question of what came first, chicken or egg. Am I the sort of person who doesn't need to be like other people? Or did I realise fairly early on that I'm not like other people, so I better make the best of it?
Yes, because you come across as being totally your own person. You're very confident. You're very outgoing. And you know exactly what your limits are and what you're capable of doing. And you often say, no, I'm not doing this. I'm doing it my way. And I respect that. I totally respect that. And now moving on to exercise, because you've touched on that. How does exercise affect lipedema?
Okay. The biggest part for me is being heavy. When you get to be heavy, it's not just heavy, it's also hypermobile. I will damage myself if I jump. The biggest, most enormous thing, I think, is my gait. Because you have an abnormal buildup of fat on the thighs, as well as the hypermobility and the weight that you're carrying, it pushes your legs outwards. A woman with late stage lipedema quite often has sort of X-shaped legs, and that can be a real problem.
Yes, I can see that. So that brings us on quite neatly to Nordic walking, because you mentioned gait. How does Nordic walking help lipedema?
Well, I can tell you why I love Nordic walking.
Please do.
I have this great coach I found, some random person on the internet, happened to be doing that was you, wasn't it? Yeah. The thing that I remember is, towards when you were teaching us the 10 points of Nordic walking, there was the bit towards the end, you're like sashay like a supermodel. And I think because of the way my sort of legs are splayed a bit, the fact that you've got to put almost one in front of the other, that was quite natural and easy for me. And that created that sort of natural sway.
Yes.
So it didn't, I don't know if it did anything for me, but it didn't work against me, which was quite nice.
Can I just stop there? When you're walking, doing that, that's the rotation. It's the shoulders that are rotating. And actually, people feel that they're putting one leg in front of the other. They're not. They're still walking with their feet. And I would have mentioned it if I thought you were crossing your legs over across the midline, because that would make you unbalanced. You are still walking along your two train tracks, as it were, but it's the upper body that's rotating.
Yeah. So if you think about it, if you think that rather than your legs coming straight down, your thighs sort of start going out and your legs, you're almost not kneed. So it's sort of putting your thigh in front of the other and your feet still feel like you're quite a way apart. But I mean, the thing about Nordic walking that I liked was you don't have to go too fast. But I use a heart rate monitor with a chest strap. And I'm quite keen on this because I'm quite big on science. And I feel with diets, with it's calories in, calories out. If you measure your heart rate, how many calories you've burned, I don't particularly like to have a large deficit.
Yes.
So, going back to heart rate. So when you start Nordic walking and you think, oh, this is a bit of path. The thing that I could see from my heart rate monitor and that I can see now is that I'm actually working really hard and I'm not going very fast. I think we generally do about 4 kilometres an hour.
Yeah,
in a class, but with power walking, I could go as fast as I can, and I feel like I'm huffing my little heart out and going really trying an effort. And oh, I'm working so hard, and my heart rate might as well go, well, you've just been for a stroll, haven't you? Whereas with Nordic walking, probably because of the poles, but also because it's more of a whole body movement, my heart rate monitor shows how much work I'm doing. But the important thing is, although I was technically exercising quite intensely, I didn't feel like it.
Yes, and that is crucial. It is a very high intensity exercise, but with low perceived effort. And I think that's a really attractive side to Nordic walking. I would add that with you, because your technique is so perfect, you are doing all 10 steps every single lesson from the beginning to the end. So you are working incredibly hard, and you have, as I often walk alongside you, trying to find something to criticize. And I say, no, sorry, there's nothing I can add here today. You're doing it brilliantly. So you are working at a particularly high level of Nordic walking. It's what we would call a very advanced level of Nordic walking.
It's nice to hear, but what you said about the rate of perceived exertion, I think that's a big, when we're talking about barriers, if you're a fat woman and you try to go for a run, the perceived exertion, almost immediately you will be out of your depth.
Yeah.
But with Nordic walking, I never got that. With the rate of perceived exertion, you're so much in control. And yes, you can go faster, but it's not the difference between a walk and a sprint. It's the difference between, a 2 miles, 2 kilometres an hour, walk and a 5 kilometres an hour walk. It's not such an enormous difference. And I think that's one of the things that makes it so accessible to women with lipedema, and that you've got so much control and so much variance, but yet you can still get so much out of it.
Yeah. And are there other benefits that you've got from Nordic walking?
Being able to pick up my sticks and go.
Yes.
That is something that I have to be very careful about what I choose to do. With Nordic walking, I can just pick up my poles and go. I take them on holiday with me every year. And because they can get my heart rate so high, that's a very valuable thing, because I can't do that unaided. I will top out trying to walk before I can do that. It's getting that high intensity workout is very valuable, because one of the things we recommend exercise for lipedema is because the lymphatic system needs exercise to help it pump. And I do much better with a high heart rate exercise, high intensity exercise, than I do with a lower level of a longer term of moderate exercise. And that's one of the things I love about it as well. It's something to talk about with my friends. I do like coming out with people, and how it's something I can do in a group and not be always the worst, although I am still sometimes the slowest. So that's good as well. There's so much more you can do with it depending on what you want to do. So yeah, that high heart rate is really important. And again, with the combined with the rate of perceived exertion being quite low, that's gold as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And what message would you like to get across to Nordic walking instructors about lipedema and how to adapt their teaching methods for people who have this condition?
I think speed would be one of the things you have to be careful of. I think that, I'm sure you see this as an instructor, that sometimes people simply can't go any faster.
Yeah.
I think that's the big thing. I think a lot of women with lipedema don't know they've got it. And so if somebody says to you, I've got trouble with this, especially with knee trouble or, you know, oh, I'm trying to lose weight, saying things like, have you thought of this, is always a good possibility. If you can be aware that it's around, I think once you know about the X-legged pattern, it's fine. And also to make people understand that, as I say, keep your eyes on your own path. What are you getting out of it? Because when you're in a group, it's very hard to feel that you're not keeping up with the group. And I don't have a problem with that. I'm the slowest. It's my thing in life. My brain is sharp. My body is slow. So I would say to instructors, if you keep an eye out, if people have got it, you might like to mention, have you heard of? And that can be just being told that there's a reason why you can't lose this weight, that it's not your fault. That is the gem, I think, for everybody involved.
I know that you are a health at every size advocate, and I wondered if you could just tell us a little bit more about that.
Oh, yes. Finding the health at every size movement was a great support to me in my early days of exercising. It's basically about changing culture. So we don't want people to exercise because they're trying to meet some kind of beauty standards. We want people to exercise because of all the other benefits it brings. We want them to be healthy. So health and weight are not the same thing. So, for example, yes, OK, I'm heavy. I'm not obese. I don't have fat that can diet away. Because, I mean, even the word obese, it comes from the Latin ate intensively. It's basically saying you did this to yourself, you fat fool. So yeah, the healthy every side movement, there's lots of parts to it, but the bit I like most, it's saying to people, get out and exercise. Even if you are fat, you don't be denied this because you're fat. Don't worry about doing things for external approvals. And I know health at every size is for men as well as women, but it's very important, I think, for women to start saying, what do I need to be healthy? So if you don't smoke and you don't really drink and you eat well and you exercise, you can still be fat and be actually very healthy.
So is there a message that you would like to get across to other people with lipedema who might be nervous about exercise or who thought about Nordic walking, because this is a podcast mostly about Nordic walking? What would you say to somebody sort of teetering on the edge about whether they should have a go or not?
I would say that absolutely have a go at Nordic walking, because it can become something for you so quickly. It is for you. It is for us. You know, I've seen really fit people have a go at Nordic walking and they like it, but they've got so many other things to do. It's those of us who actually go, do you know what? This is for me. I can have my poles and I can go out and I get what I need out of that. It's about getting what you need out of it. And it's nice to be able to participate with people, but just keeping your mobility, keeping your health, improving on those things just a little bit and getting all the joy of being outside and moving your body. That's, I think, what people, that is there for the taking. Yes. And sometimes
everybody, no matter what shape or size, isn't it?
Absolutely. And sometimes, as I say to people, the most feminist thing you can do is just get out and be a fat woman existing in public, going out as a fat woman with my sticks and, you know, being perfectly happy, smile on my face. Yeah, so that's what I would say. I'll say that Nordic walking as a sport is brilliant. And if you coming in doing it for yourself, you can get what you need out of it. It is there for you. Your sticks are there for you. They don't judge you. And you can get so much out of it. Don't let what you think other people might think stop you.
What I would like people to understand is that when somebody turns up to a group, and for the other participants in the group, is you cannot judge who are going to be the people who end up with the best technique and who are going to be the people that the instructor is constantly reminding week after week, trying to iron out those little bad habits, because you cannot judge people. And that's it. There's nothing to do with size at all.
No, and it does help to have a good instructor. I have to say, Mary, I found the way you taught us the 10 step it just stuck with me.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't think I'm particularly coachable.
You
but...
are very coachable. You
oh,
are very
well.
Coachable. But the 10 steps really does help break it down, and you're just learning incrementally, and it just makes it stick really well, I think.
Yes, I don't think I got into... I don't think Nordic walking stuck with me because I'm a particularly special person. I think it stuck because it was the way it was broken down. It was shown to me. It was simple. I could do it. It was the right time that I could, yeah, you know, actually do it. And it did, it fulfilled a need in my life. And I think that a lot of women who would actually not want to go to a gym, who would not want to commit to anything, it's that's what it's good for. Because if I had nothing else in my life, I could go Nordic walking 3 times a week and could consider myself fairly well worked out.
Finally, I want to ask you for your top tip for walking on air.
I'm going to sound like a complete fitness geek now, but for me, it's the high heart rate. It's old-fashioned HIIT. You know, you warm up, you do a little bit very strenuously, give it, calm it down, do that again, calm it down, do it for a third time, then cool down. So exercise intensively gives me a level of both physical and mental well-being that I miss if I don't have it. The physical benefits of actually working your body hard are great, and with Nordic walking I can do that on the pavement with my two sticks in about 20 minutes and not have to, you know, drag myself out to a gym or use fancy equipment or anything. It's there and it's for me, and I can go and get that whenever I need it. So my top tip for walking on air would be, you can do more than you think you can, and the physical benefits of doing more are very real.
And Liz, I want to thank you so much for being such a great role model for everybody out there, and also for being incredibly patient with me and my ignorance over the last 4 years. But you've taught me so much, and you have gently educated me without ever coming across as being annoyed that I didn't know more. And I feel I've learnt a lot, and it has been, well, it is a pleasure knowing you, and I hope, you know, we carry on walking together for many years.
Thank you, Mary.
And thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
What a great conversation. Liz is so articulate and has explained lipedema brilliantly. I certainly feel that I have a greater understanding of the condition now and better awareness of how many women are affected. So I do hope that you have found our conversation to be beneficial to you. Liz has sent me some excellent educational links if you want to learn more about lipedema, which I will include in the show notes. I really hope that you enjoyed walking on air and that it has inspired you to get outside. If you have any questions about Nordic walking or a story that you want to share, please get in touch by emailing hello@walkingonairpodcast.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening, and if you have enjoyed doing so, then I would be extremely grateful if you could spare 30 seconds to like and review this podcast on the platform that you listen on and hit the subscribe button. It will help spread the word about Nordic walking and about this podcast. Do join me next week. And finally, before I go, I would just like to thank this episode's sponsors: British Nordic Walking, NordicWalk.store, and Walking Women. Their support enables our community to share knowledge and learn together.